is God. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. Are you excited about the work of the Lord? Praise God. Hebrews chapter number 3, and let's begin reading at verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we behold the beginning, or if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That word provocation just simply means rebellion. It means back in the times of wandering around in the wilderness. When they tried the Lord, he said, they tempted me, they proved me, and they saw my works for 40 years. And so he said, you know, just harden not your hearts as in that day. Amen. As in the days of rebellion. Praise God. Today, if you will hear his voice. Amen. Praise God. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Today, if you will hear his voice. Praise God. Let's ask God to talk to us here this morning. Father, we love you and we appreciate you. We need you here tonight, God. I'm praying, oh Lord Jesus, that you would allow and cause your spirit to move. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Savior, Savior, we love you and appreciate you. We exalt you and magnify you, God. We glorify you. We adore you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. We are definitely living in a time when we need to hear the voice of God. Amen. There are many voices in this world, and Paul told the church, he said that they are not without signification. Every one of them has purpose and meaning. Many of them are voices of manipulation. Many of them are voices that are deceptive voices, saying just enough truth that people want to hear, but yet it is mingled with error. And we just need to hear the voice of God in our day and age. Praise the Lord. Day and age is flooded with different spirits that are flying to and fro, moving throughout this world, moving throughout the universe. There are political voices that are set to destroy agendas, mindsets, governments, nations, countries, and such. These voices have purpose and power behind them. And the Bible even teaches us that where the word of a king is, there is power. And it's not just necessarily referring to the nobility of kingship, such as we would find over in England or Saudi Arabia or something, but it is just the political power that is represented within nations. And where the voice of those are, there is power. Praise God. Amen. And below that and beyond that, there are other voices that are set to do whatever they can to to try to manipulate minds and people's agendas and situations. There are voices that are set to destroy people, to destroy churches, to destroy spiritual maturity, to destroy spiritual movement. Amen. Voices that are used by the devil, amen, to exploit lies and to do these things. But we just need the voice of God in our life. We need the voice of God in our church. We need the voice of God as individuals. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to let the devil know I'm not too interested in listening to his voice and what he's got to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the father of all liars, and if he speaks anything, it is but a lie. And I'm here to declare today they are nothing but liars in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let God be God. Hallelujah, amen, and every man a liar. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We need the voice of God. We need the voice of God in our life. Amen. The voice of surety, the voice of power, and the voice of purity in our lives. We need more than just a wise voice. We need more than just a voice of discretion, but we need more than just a voice of knowledge, more than just a voice of wisdom. For there are many wise men, yet they are not wise. Amen. Praise God. They have the wisdom of the world. Amen. But it is not the wisdom of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And we would see that even one that was declared to be more than likely the most wise man that would live upon the face of the earth by the name of Solomon. And he even prayed for wisdom and understanding that he might be able to lead the people of God and that he would be able to help the people of God. And at times that wisdom stood forth, and at times that wisdom, amen, shined out of darkness to where the people would look in wonder and would say, what wisdom does Solomon have? And Solomon is attributed to writing different passages of Scripture. As a matter of fact, some of the Psalms may have been attributed to Solomon. And we know that most of Proverbs would be given unto him. And then there is the book of Ecclesiastes. And then obviously the Song of Solomon. Amen. And so he had quite a few things to say. He had quite a few things to write. And in his writings, more times than not, he was extremely wise. But most of his writings were reflections of where he had been. But if you think about it, it is ironic that Solomon had to experience the things that he experienced so that he would be able to write about the experience that he had when he had the wisdom that he had. And when you look at the book of Proverbs, you see that there are three individuals that are referred to more times than not. And there is the wise man, and there is the fool, and there is the strange woman. And I feel today that Solomon was able to write concerning the wise man, the fool, and the strange woman because that he had a relationship or an understanding of all three of those. We know that more than likely Solomon writing from the points of wisdom because that he was given wisdom above all men and that he was a wise man, but understanding the point of a fool simply because he played the part of a fool so many times, and being able to explain the part of the strange woman because he was the victim of strange women, in that he went into strange countries and he took unto him wives that were idolaters and they set up many groves. One of the most wisest men of the Bible yet had countless groves of idolatry in his kingdom, in his palace, and throughout his land. And so looking back upon some things, he would be able to say, I played the part of a fool because of a strange woman, and I'm trying to tell somebody else about the wisdom that I have obtained, the wisdom that I should have used. used the wisdom that I want to be able to give to somebody else so that they would not have to go through the things that I personally went through. Solomon set up a lot of idols in his life. Amen. Solomon had a lot of strange women. He had a lot of wives. He had a lot of concubines in his life. And he had a lot of problems in his life. And so when he was writing his book concerning the preacher in Ecclesiastes, when he summed it up, the last two verses of the entire book sum up the entire book to its entirety, therefore, and he said, let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I just find it unique that Solomon would portray these things as the duty of man. This is what you're just supposed to do. I feel that it is to a degree contrary of the commandment of God that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And I just want to submit to you today that when living for God becomes a duty, then you're bound for idolatry. Amen. When living for God becomes a duty, then you're bound for failure. Amen. But even though that we would see that David had lots of mess ups in his life, he had murder upon his resume, adultery, amen, hidden in his closet. He had a lot of other things that he was not proud of. But yet the Bible declares him to be a man after God's own heart, and he loved God with all of his heart, and he would write in his book, instead of calling it a duty, he would say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. Solomon just simply thought, the words of God are my duty. The commandments of God are just what I am supposed to do. Amen. But David had a revelation. I don't do this because that I have to do this. I don't do this because it's just simply a commandment. But I do this because that I am in love with God. We need some people to be in love with God more times. Amen. We need some people to fall in love with God again and again. We need some people to fall in love with God all over again. I would tell you today that the problems that you're having is simply because you're living in the Old Testament without the New Testament. You're living in a day and an age where all you've got is the Word. You're living in a time when all you're interested in is just making sure that you fulfill the duty of it all. I say to you today that the first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And I tell you today that if you're in love with God like you need to be in love with God, commandment number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 is not going to be any trouble to you at all. They'll take care of themselves if you'll just make sure that you love God like you need to love God. Oh, let's love him here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Bible teaches us that the letter killeth, but it is the Spirit that giveth life. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we know that the Word was manifest unto us. And he came among his own, and his own received him not. He came not to do away with the law and the prophets, but he came to fulfill them all. He is the Word. He is the divine Word. He is the living Word. Amen. He is the fullness of the Word. Amen. And the only way that we can have this, amen, is we've got to find mercy through the cross. Praise God. We find that the law was, amen, was established and it was put into the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. But there was something that separated that law from humanity, and that was the mercy seat that was there. You cannot live the law without the mercies of God. For the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of people that want to point out the faults of everybody else. Amen. They want to point out what everybody else is doing wrong, mainly to get the attention off of them so that nobody begins to scrutinize their lives. Hallelujah. Oh, but I'm telling you today, when we get in the Word, there is nobody that's going to be able to live it perfectly. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This Word that is able to kill is able also to give life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We need the Word of God in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. We need that Word. We need the Word to become manifest amongst us. We need the Word to live, amen, amongst us. Amen. We need the Word to be powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need the Word of God to pierce asunder, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We need the Word of God to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We need the Word of God to show up at our well. Amen. When we're not doing right. Amen. That's what the woman at the well was. She wasn't living right. She was with her. Amen. She had had five husbands. And the one that she was with then wasn't even her husband. But that day the Word showed up into her life. And the Word began to discern the thoughts and the intents of her heart. Amen. Notice that she didn't go running into the city. Amen. And faulting. Critique the man that was preaching. Amen. But she said, come and see a man and hear a man that's told me everything that I did. We need the Word of God to do that. We need the Word of God to pierce our hearts. Amen. We need the man of God to be able to stand up and to preach, thus saith the Word of God. He needs to be able to preach without fear and without favor. We need the Word of God to set us free, to help us, to deliver us, and to bring us out of bondage. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. We need the Word to show up in its purity. Amen. With love and compassion, but yet to exploit, amen, the weaknesses, to exploit the mindset, to exploit the thoughts, and even the intents of the heart. There are some of you here today, amen, that may have feelings upon your shoulders. Amen. And there's times, oh, that when I read the Word of God, I say, oh, God, that doesn't feel very good, amen, right now. But you know what? It's for my good, and I love it. Why? Amen. Because not only is this the Word, this is the map, and this is going to get me to heaven. Amen. If I just be obedient and obey the Word and listen to the Word. Hey, I didn't come to preach it like this here today, but I feel like the Lord is dealing and the Lord is moving. Why? It's not because God wants to be judgmental. God wants to show us His love. Amen. For humanity. Praise God. I'm so far off in left field right now, I have to have Siri to help me get back. But let me just say it like this. Some people think to themselves, they say, they got this mindset. They said, could Jesus have sinned? Could the man Christ Jesus, could he have sinned? And so some people believe, well, he had to be capable of sinning so that he could feel exactly how we feel and what we're going through. That's twisted thinking. He doesn't need to know how we feel. We were created in His image. He's the one that put all the nerves, the emotions, the feelings, and all of that within inside of us. He didn't come down, amen, so that He could see how we feel. He came down so that we could see how He feels. He didn't need, amen, he didn't need to come down to conform, amen, so that He could figure out what humanity was. He came down, so, amen, and conformed so that humanity could see the love of deity. Yeah. Amen. He didn't come down, amen, to be tempted by, amen, some strange woman and say, wow, this is so hard. How am I ever going to get through this? No, He didn't come down to do that. He come down so that you could see the love that the Father has for you. Amen. When you are in your temptation, the love that kept Him upon the tree, the love that said, I could call 10,000 angels right now if I wanted to. The love, amen, that let Him lean over a stick, amen, and let Him whip Him and beat His back until He was a bloody pulp. The love that allowed Him, amen, to push a crown of thorns down into His head. The love that caused Him to be led like a sheep, amen, unto the slaughter, amen. That's what He came to portray. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't came to condemn us, amen, but He came to save us out of our sin and out of our temptation so that you could have hope. And the only way that you know that you need hope is that the Word comes and says, hey, you're lost, you're messed up, you're in the wrong direction, you're headed to the wrong destination. Hey, you need to turn around, you need to get right, you need to repent. Today, if you will hear His voice, He will come unto you and help you. And so we need to hear His voice. We need to hear His voice. Amen. We don't need to hear. I'll say it carefully. And I hope that you can discern everything that I'm saying. But we don't need to hear necessarily the voice of, we'll start off easy, statisticians. We don't need, it's not that. We don't need to hear the voice of commentators, theologians. We don't have to have, amen. We need the voice of God. I don't think Elijah had a PhD. I don't think Elisha had a doctorate in theology. They were just common men affected by the same things. And you see that when Elisha is hidden in a cave somewhere, just simply feeling sorry for himself. The Bible called him a man of like passion. Feeling the same thing that everybody else felt. As a matter of fact, you got the man by the name of Moses who couldn't even talk right. He had a speech impediment, and so Aaron followed him around so that he could tell what was going on. Amen. It's not the elite. It's not the brightest. Amen. It's not the one that's so sophisticated. Amen. With all of the knowledge and the wisdom. Amen. But it's the one that has the voice of God. It's the one that can discern the voice of God over the voice, amen, of the enemy. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God. Many voices, but we would see very quickly in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 1, He established it all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon those waters. Praise God. Now, that right there is a picture of humanity. It really is. It really is. It is a picture of depraved man. Confusion. Running rampant. That's what it was. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, full of chaos. That's what man is in this day and time, full of chaos. Darkness was upon the earth. And the Bible teaches us that God hath called us out. Amen. One place that even said that he hath called you by name. He called your name. And he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. And so there the earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Verse number 3, the Bible begins to tell us and begins to teach us about the voice of God. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Just like that. He didn't have to have an electrician. He didn't need 110 volts or 220 volts. He didn't need a transformer. Amen. He didn't need a power pole. He didn't need anything like that. As a matter of fact, he didn't need the sun. And he didn't even need the moon. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. If you read, it was on day 4 that he creates the sun and the moon. And so out of this point, it begins to explain Hebrews 11 and 3. And that we know that by faith, the worlds were framed by the spoken word of God. By things that were not. No wire. Different electrons and protons and all of that running back and forth to create, electric current waves and none of that. He just simply spoke, and all of things that weren't created began to obey and began to line up. And you know what happened when things began to line up and began to obey the voice of God? First of all, they had the right sense of mind to obey the voice of God. And when they began to obey the voice of God, you know what happened? Blessings and productivity. He began to create the world. Amen. And he placed the world there. And that he said, let there be land and let there be water. And he divided the waters from by the land. And then he began to place other things. And he created the birds and the cattle of the field. And he created all the different animals and the beasts thereof. And he created the trees. Amen. And all of the cytoplasm and all of those other things that goes. And everything just began to work. It has taken scientists thousands upon thousands of years to understand what God created with just his spoken voice. Amen. Scientists have went in and they said, this is it. And then the law of 5 years comes about, and other scientists say, not so. Can't be because of this, and so it's got to be this. And every few years somebody comes and says, well, we're getting closer, but still, that's not exactly it. And then you've still got doctors that are trying to understand the human body, and they want to understand why that the body has this little thing and it's not really necessary and all that. And they don't understand everything, and so they're still studying medicine and studying humanity and studying. You got all of the all those people that are studying plants and the botanist and the biologist and all of these other things. They're still studying because they cannot wrap their mind around amen God. Amen. They cannot they want to understand how God did it, and it looks so intense. It looks so multiplied by the millions of how that everything just goes together and works, and how that light comes down and body and stuff. And you think, well, here's somebody and they're depressed, and why are they always depressed? And so they said, well, we've measured the levels in their body, and they're low on vitamin D. And so you know what? They need to get out and be in the sun. And God said, I planted man in the garden at one time. I didn't plant him inside the house. I didn't plant him, amen, back inside the basement somewhere just bummed out, playing video games and stuff. I put him in the garden. I put him out in the sun so that he could get some vitamin D. It's only taken you a few thousand years to understand all of this. But God was able to do it with just his spoken word. And everything began to create and began to reproduce after its own kind. The amazing thing is that cows beget cows and birds beget birds. Amen. And it was man and woman that that beget child and all that. But scientists have got this figured out. We know more than God. And on and on and on and on. No, we need the voice of God back in our life. We need the voice of God back in our churches. We need the voice of God back in our world so that God can simply, I'm here to tell you today, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care where you are in life. I'm telling you today that all that God needs to do is step out, amen, onto the perimeter of your life and simply say, let there be. And that doesn't matter what is in your life. It'll all vanish and be erased when God begins to speak. Things that were not began to become so. They just were so. Praise God. In just this one chapter, we see that God speaks so many different times. And He creates the entire universe. He puts the stars in the sky. He puts the sun up. He puts the moon up. He puts the planets up. He puts all of these things up. And it's just so easy to take Genesis 1 and to take it in your Bible and to come over here and to place it on a pedestal and to be reverent to it and to refer to it at times. But we see the man that wrote this, that got the revelation of all of this, by the name of Moses, and he's given proper credence for writing this book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wasn't even there when God created the heavens and the earth. As a matter of fact, God looked at Job and he said, Job, where were you when I did all of this, when I laid the foundations of the earth, when I measured the span of the water, when I measured the waters in the span of my hand? Where were you? Amen. He could say the same thing to Moses. Amen. Moses, where were you? The difference is Moses wasn't questioning. Moses was just taking it as a fact. Huh? Yeah, God said and God did it. And how did Moses get that revelation? He got somewhere with God. Amen. That God could talk to him. He got into a sacred place with God so that God could talk to him. Somebody would say, I just need God to talk to me. There's two things that's got to happen in your life. Number one, you're going to have to slow down and stop. And number two, you're going to have to open up your ears and listen. But you see, we're so busy with life, hustling, bustling, going back and forth. And I have been there just this past week, not this one that we just come through, but the week before. I remember coming into this church last Sunday morning, and one of my friends, Brother Nathan Morgan, had texted me, and he had said something. I said, Brother, I said, to be perfectly honest with you, I said, I feel like I'm so out of tune right now. I've been so busy. I've been going. I've been doing all these things, and I've just not had the time to really meditate upon God and to think about His Word. Even just driving down the road, I didn't have that time to do that. My mind's just been encompassed and just overwhelmed by so many different things. And he said, I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know what? You know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been there. Amen. You've been there. Just seemed overwhelmed by life. Amen. Just overwhelmed by problems, overwhelmed by circumstances, situations, overwhelmed by work, overwhelmed by money, overwhelmed by sickness, overwhelmed by disease, overwhelmed by all of this. Amen. Can I just, hey, I throw my notes away, amen, because I ain't even back in them again. Amen. But I'm just telling you, that's what the devil, amen, wants to do. Amen. The devil, amen, knows that if you can hear the voice of God, he does not stand hardly a chance. And you know why he has a chance? It's because that you won't listen to the voice of God. You've got it all worked out. You already know what's all got to happen. Amen. And so you give that devil just that small percentage of a chance. But the devil, your adversary, is doing everything that he can to try to separate you from the voice of God. And so he's going to weasel his way in. Weasel his way into your life. Amen. And he's going to make it very, very uncomfortable for you. He's not going to let you feel comfortable in life. He's going to put the pressure on you because, amen, he wants to overwhelm your mind. He's got to do something to get your attention, whether it's just completely busy, amen, problems and all that other stuff. He just got to keep your attention off of God. You can't hear God. You don't have time for God because he knows that when God steps onto your ship and he begins to say, peace, be still, his problems have got to lay down. The waves and the wind has got to cease immediately. When the voice of, hey, you just need to get back in a place that you can hear the voice of God. And the number one place that you're going to hear the voice of God is right here in this pulpit. Praise God. Amen. I'm not here to pat myself on the back. I'm here to load the responsibility back onto my back. Amen. It is a tremendous responsibility. And I understand that I've got to find the voice of God, that I could speak the voice of God into your life. There are some of you that have come to me and said, Pastor, I just don't know. Pastor, I've got questions. And I tremble and I fear that I've got to have the answer. I've got to have the voice of God. I've got to have the mind of God. I've got to be able to represent the heart of God. Amen. The mind of God and the will of God. Lest I would direct you astray. Amen. I've got to stand up without friends, without favor. Amen. Without popularity. And I've got to declare the whole counsel of God. If you're going to be saved, you've got to hear what's right. You've got to hear what's wrong. You've got to hear what's good. You've got to hear what's bad. It is the voice of God that's gonna help us in this day and age. And so here's Moses. Here's Moses. I just paint it from my little storybook view. Here's Moses as he begins to get the revelation of Genesis chapter number 1. And as he begins to write, and we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or in other words, breathed out by God and inspired by God. And so here's Moses, however he's doing it, in cuneiform or however that he's writing on parchment, or whether he's listening, doing whatever, I don't know. But here's God. Here's Moses. All right, God, it's just me and you. What do you have to say unto me? And so God says, all right, Moses, in the beginning. Moses like, this is going to be good, because I'm going to get it straight from the beginning, not in the middle of things, but I'm going to understand the beginning. In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. Wow. God created the heavens and the earth. Well, this is powerful right here. Yeah. Hey, Moses, the earth was without form. Well, that's hard to imagine, but okay. The earth was without form. It was void. Wow, void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Like there was no light. Yeah, Moses, like, absolutely no light whatsoever at all. Like, no light? Yeah, like no light. Wow. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, Moses, my spirit moved upon the face of the waters. I got a good feeling about this one. Moved upon face of waters. And I said, hold up, God said, let there be light, and there was light. No joke. Just like that. That's it? Yeah, just like that. Let there be light, and there was light. Time out. Woo-hoo! Wow! Yeah, there was light. And I saw the light. And I saw that it was good. Yeah, because you don't mess up. Nope. And I divided the light from the darkness. I called the light day, and the darkness I called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the rest of the time, God is sitting here talking to Moses, and Moses just writing. Every once in a while, this is just my mind's point of view. This is just the kid in me, okay? Moses said, time out, praise break. Woo! This is powerful stuff. But you know what? Moses got a revelation about this God that spoke into the nothing and things became something. And then Moses begins to realize, I'm understanding some things right now. I remember being in the darkness on the backside of a desert, feeling like my life had just been flushed down a toilet bowl. Well, he didn't know what that was, but feeling like everything was totally worthless. Everything was gone. Everything was done. Everything was, what do I have to live for? I mean, just the other day, I was living in Pharaoh's house. I was in there. I was second in command, basically. If you study that out, you'll see that's true. And here I was, and son of Pharaoh's daughter, all things, you know, all I had to do was just bend and bow to a little bit of pressure. All I had to do was conform to worldliness and just take on the cares of an Egyptian. Just start being like the Egyptians. That's all I had to do. I just had to listen to Egyptian music, play Egyptian games, and look at Egyptian, what are those things called? Yeah, those things. Hieroglyphics. That's, you know, the Egyptians wrote with all those things and forms and stuff. That's all I had to do, just look at Egyptian pictures and all of that other thing. But there was something inside of me that said, no, I can't do this. I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I refuse to be an Egyptian. I wasn't born an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not going to be an Egyptian. I'm going to stand up against Egyptian things. And so I decided to do something, and the next thing I know, because I did something, now here I am hiding back on the backside of a wilderness somewhere, walking through the dark times of life, not knowing what's going to happen, and all of a sudden, poof, a bush starts burning. And I turned from what I was doing, and I walked over to see why the bush was not consumed, and when I got over there, all of a sudden, a voice began to speak. Said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Now, I heard yesterday that in Mississippi, that's just a common thing. God wouldn't have had to tell them to take their shoes off. They already have their shoes off. So Moses takes his shoes off, and God begins to speak to him and said, now, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver my people out. Oh, really? Uh-huh. How's that? You. Me? What do I do? Who am I? I can't even talk right. He had a speech impediment. He had a stuttering problem. The Lord said, doesn't matter. If I can make nothing, if I can make something out of nothing, I can use you. And so here's Moses. And he's beginning to do these things. And now he's got 3 million plus Hebrews following him around. And he's ready to pull all the hair out of his head. But what does he do? He always goes back to the one that's willing to talk. And back up to Sinai, back up to Horeb. And God's talking to him and telling him, this is what you got to do. And it was because that Moses had a revelation of the creation in the beginning that was able to get Moses so far into life. It was was able to process Moses to a place, amen, that when he was told, you know what, I just need you to do this. And Moses said, who am I to question God? If he can speak things into existence, then surely he can pull water out of a rock, and he can feed us with manna and all this, because he had a revelation of the voice. Praise God. I need to hurry up and get on, or I ain't ever going to get done. Amen. And so Moses, through all of this, with a revelation of God, understanding the voice of God, we would see that when he was in dire need, he went back to God and asked God, talk to me. I need to hear your voice. Amen. And God would begin to speak to him, and God would begin to lead him, and God would begin to calm his fears, and God would tell him what he needed to do. Amen. When everybody was stacked against him, God said, look, Moses, I just need you to stand on this side and let Korah stand on the other side, and then just shut your mouth and stand still, and I'll do the rest of it. Some people wonder why the preacher stops talking, why the preacher goes silent, why the preacher, amen, isn't saying anything. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes God doesn't require us to answer everything. God just says, just be quiet, and I'll take care of the rest of it. Amen. And Moses just stood over there and said, hey, Aaron. God said, just hush. He'll take care of the rest of it. And they just sat there and they hushed. And then all of a sudden, boom, the earth opened up and the rebellious were swallowed down into the ground. And God took care. I'm telling you, God doesn't get it wrong. God's ways are right and God's voice is right. Amen. I could go on and on and on and on. And so I'll try, amen, to kind of start wrapping this thing up here tonight or this morning. I hadn't preached that long yet. And so everybody got a revelation of God because that God spoke to them. We would see that in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, verses 23 through 27. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but here's a bunch of disciples, and they're on a boat, and a great tempest comes, and the boat is being tossed to and fro and thrown and everything. And here's the disciples, and they're bailing water out, and they're saying, oh, we're getting ready to go under. I mean, the circumstances say, we're finished. It's done. It's through. And so they went, and they woke the master up. They woke Jesus up, and they said, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And Jesus stood up and he said, oh, ye of little faith. And the Bible said that he got up and he went to the bow of the boat and he stood there and he just said, peace be still. And the Bible said that immediately the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. And all the disciples standing there with buckets in their hand looked at each other and they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? They were just upset with God, amen, Christ Jesus, because that he was asleep. You know why he was asleep? Because their lifestyle didn't elicit to him to come forth to do anything. And sometimes you feel like God is asleep in your life. And sometimes you feel like, amen, everything is going wrong. And you're sitting here faulting God. God don't even care. If God cares about me, then why is this happening and stuff? No, you're just insisting upon griping and complaining about everything. Amen. And your ways in life has allowed God to go to sleep. Amen. But when you become concerned, amen, he's as close as the mention of his name. And you can go and you can wake him up. And your lack of concern, amen, and your situation that you can fix all things, amen, becomes I can't fix anything. And when you get to the place that you need God, God's willing to wake up in your life and begin to speak to the problems and the situations that are in your life. He can. It doesn't matter how great the wave is. It doesn't matter, amen, what it looks like is going to happen. It doesn't matter if it looks like you're going to sink. Amen. There is a God that all he has to do is stand up and say, peace be still, and immediately the problem has got to lay down. Now, with this revelation, we see a few months later, however long it is later, there's a man by the name of Peter, and they're in the same predicament. And this storm is, but Jesus isn't in the boat. You know why? Because Jesus will do everything that he needs to do to give you a revelation so that when you take the test, you can pass. He was in the boat because it was class time. He was out of the boat because it was test time. And the teacher is always silent during the test. And so here they are going through the test. Oh, if the teacher could just give me the answers. If Jesus was just here, he would know the answer to this problem. And they figured out that they wasn't going to be able to do it. And so Jesus was content just to walk right on by them. And he would have passed them by, except they cried out. And he said, it's just me. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. It's just me. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you. And the voice of God spoke. And he said, come. Well, now it's time for Peter to start walking on water. Jesus was walking on water. So Peter had to step out of the boat. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he found that the water was concrete. And he began to walk on the waves. But some point in time, he let his problems get the best of him. And instead of focusing upon Jesus, he focused upon his problems. And he became overwhelmed by fear by focusing upon his problems. And he did not have Jesus in sight. He refused to believe God. He refused to have faith in God. Amen. And his problems overwhelmed him. And it was only Jesus reaching down at the last second and pulling him up at his problems that he didn't drown in his problems. Amen. Sometimes you got to find the voice of God in your life. And you got to be able to step out onto your problems beyond the fear factor. And say, God, I'm just going to trust you. And here I come. I'm walking out until you don't let your problems overwhelm you. Don't let the fear of the situation overwhelm you. You've got to hear the voice of God in your life. Praise God. Praise God. I could talk about there was a leper that came unto Jesus and he was full of leprosy, or it was a type of sin. And he come unto Jesus and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, his voice came forth and he said, I will be thou cleansed. And immediately the leper was cleansed all by the voice of God. Amen. We could talk about Lazarus in a tomb. And here he was dead, been dead for 4 days. And so Jesus comes and he tells Mary and Martha, he said, take me to where you've laid him. And so they went. They said, well, we're just going to go mourn. And so they got there and the Lord said, all right, move away the stone. I said, you know what? I don't think that's a very good idea. How many times do we think that God's ways are not a very good idea? Well, I got a long ways to go tonight. All right, let's put it this way. I got a long ways to go. I could go a long ways. How many times do we think God's idea is not that great of an idea? Well, you know what? I don't know about that. Well, and you think that your ideas are better than God's ideas. Oh, never, never. I would never think that God's ideas are better than my ideas. Then why do you critique the church on every little thing? You critique every little area of the church. You critique everything. Amen. Cinderella, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. I'm just trying to exploit a mindset here today. Well, I don't like that. And I don't like this. And I don't like that. And I don't like that. And that's what Mary and Martha was doing. Jesus said, roll away the stone. Let's deal with this. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't like that idea. I thought you wanted to see the glory of God. I thought you wanted to see the manifested power of God. Oh, we do later. No, right now, I don't think that's a good idea. It's Wednesday night. We just need Bible study tonight. Well, you know, that was good back in the 1990s, but I don't think that's so great in this day and age. I don't like that idea. Jesus said, roll away the stone. You ain't ever going to get a miracle in your life until you get rid of your preconceived ideas and go with the things of God. Amen. Just let God be God. Just, amen. We want a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. We want, amen, all of this. We want to hear about people. Hey, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We want all of these things to happen. You know, back when I was in Colorado Springs and we experienced great revival, and Brother Johnson had great revival in times past, even before we got there. And it was said, you know what? We would show up on Wednesday nights and people would be asking, anybody get the Holy Ghost last night at prayer service? You know why they asked? Because it was always happening. They was having prayer meeting and people were getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. They'd come on Wednesday night. They'd come on Wednesday night and say, we'd like to welcome Brother So-and-so to church. He was actually baptized last night at prayer meeting. And everybody got excited all about that. But you know what? You had to have prayer meeting first. You had to have prayer meeting before somebody can get the Holy Ghost. I remember as a boy, amen, 14, 15 years old, I remember Leon Mackbeat coming in, amen, on a Tuesday night prayer meeting. The church began to have prayer meeting. People began to pray, amen, and Leon Mackbeat came down to the altar and prayed. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He became Brother Mackbeat, amen, and he lived for God until the day of his death. But there had to be prayer meeting first before somebody could, amen, receive the Holy Ghost on prayer meeting night. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember kids receiving the Holy Ghost in the Sunday school, but there had to be Sunday school before people could receive the Holy Ghost in Sunday school. Amen. Sunday school isn't the daycare. Sunday school is about teaching people about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's putting something down in their heart that they'll never, ever leave it or forsake it. God said, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. Amen. And God began to speak to dead things. Amen. The wages of sin is death. And God began to speak to things in that life that produced death, that produced rot, that produced, amen, all of these things. God spoke to them very, very simple. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound head and foot by grave clothes and by death, he came out of the grave. Amen. How are people who are dead to sin going to live any longer therein? They got to hear the voice of God. There's still got to be a preacher that'll stand up and that'll preach life into a dead situation and say, come up out of that situation and be brand new in life today. Let's stand. Let's stand. I'm just simply saying that the devil loves to overwhelm us with problems, circumstances, situations, life, no matter what it is. And the very first thing that he wants to do is cut the voice of God in your life out. Because if he can cut the voice of God in your life out, he's won. He's won. Now let's get down to reality here this morning. And the fact of the matter is that every time God wanted to speak to his people, he called a man. Come here. Moses, come here. Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, come here. Nehemiah, come here. Obadiah, I've only got one word for you to say. I've only got one message for you to preach, but come here. Jonah, I've got a message that the Ninevites need to hear. Come here. Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save believers. That's what he said, to save them that believe. You've got to be a believer, but you need the voice of God in your life. Jonah sat there looking at God and said, I don't like that idea. I think that I'll run the other way. And the Bible said that he went down to Joppa. Because when you walk away from the presence of God, there's only one way that you go, and that's down. And so when he got down to Joppa, he thought, this is about as low as I'll go, huh? No, because then there was a storm. And where did they find Jonah? Down in the bottom of the boat. And they pulled him up from the bottom of the boat. Jonah said, this is my fault. So what did we do with you, Jonah? Throw me overboard. That's the only way. And just when you think you've gone to the bottom, God's got a deeper bottom. You know what? My life is a wreck. It's messed up. I don't know how much lower I can go. Be prepared, because there's a lot lower. And the next thing we know is Jonah's in the whale's belly at the bottom of the sea. And Jonah says, all right, Lord, I'll listen. I'll say whatever you want me to say. Good, that's what I thought. Jonah made it. Jonah began to preach. And as he began to preach, the people began to repent. I know people today that they won't listen to the voice of a preacher. They'll go listen to the voice of family. Well, I know what the preacher says, but what does the family have to say? That's not the way that God chose to do it. This isn't a matter of popular opinion that we're going to take a familial vote and decide. This is a matter of right and wrong, life or death. God told the preacher, he said, you ain't going to be the most popular. You're going to go through a whole lot. Jeremiah pulled his hair out. God said, this is the way that I'm going to do it. This is the way that I'm going to speak to my people. But in this day and world, it's just, you know, he's just another man. You're right. I am just another man. The difference is there's a call of God placed upon that man and a responsibility. God takes that man and he puts him up in the chair, seat of authority. And he puts his finger in his face and he said, now listen, this is the way that it's going to be. Are you listening? Moses says, I'm listening. Jonah says, I'm listening now. And the preacher says, I'm listening. God said, okay, this is what's going to happen. When I say that the sword is coming, just put it down in your little black book. It's coming. But you know what, man of God? If you don't tell the people, that ain't going to stop the sword. It's still going to come. And they'll be totally oblivious to it. And they're going to die. But you know what? I'm requiring their blood at your hands. You got it? Oh, that's a hard saying. I got it. All right. And know this, that if you tell them, hey, the sword is coming, and if they don't hear you and say, you know what, I don't like that. I don't like that idea. I don't like what you had to say. I think I'll just go find another church. You understand, the sword is going to come, and the sword will kill. But the blood ain't on your hands any longer. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All the way to the place, Genesis 1 says, God said. Revelations 3, the Lord speaking. Verse number 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, I will come into them and I will sup with them. He said in the book of Mark, he said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for my burden is easy. And so that's the voice of God. Sometimes the voice of God comes into our life and it's a very prosperous thing. It's a very desired thing. It's a very, very good thing. Peace be still. Sometimes it's Lazarus, come forth. It's a very, very good thing. But there's a time, you read in our text here today, actually after Solomon was talking, he said that judgment was going to come, that all those things that were done in secret would be brought out into the open. Things are going to happen. Jesus said, today, if you will hear my voice and not harden your heart as in the days of rebellion, then I can help you. And so that's what I'm here today to tell you. There are people here under the sound of my voice this morning. You're going through things in life. You've got problems. It's not just one, it's not just two, but I could point and I could call you out and I could tell you exactly what you're facing in life and what you're going through in life. And you've got all these questions, concerns, overwhelming situations. And we need the voice of God in our life. God is trying to show himself strong, but you're being overwhelmed by your problem. You need the voice of God to speak in your life. But my problems are very real. Every one of us, our problems are very real. And every one of us need the voice of God. We're not going to forsake the ways of God. We're not going to forsake the voice of God. We're going to listen. And we're going to be obedient to the voice of God. I want to hear the voice of God. And ultimately, when it's all said and done, we're going to hear his voice say one more time. He's either going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or we'll hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I want to be standing on the right side, that he looks at me and says, well done. Well done. Hallelujah. As our altars are open here this morning, amen. Why don't you bring your problems to the Lord? Why don't you cast your every care upon him this morning? Come on, why don't you reach out to God? Say, God, I need your voice.